As human beings, we all have five basic senses. We got we can see, we can hear, we can smell, we can taste, and we can touch. And we know the eyes, they see, they sense light. Ears, they sense sound. We can hear with our ears. And we all know the rest. Today, I only want to talk about two of our primary senses. Those two are sight and sound, or vision and hearing. You know, back in 2015, I got some really good news. They came out with a procedure, and it probably goes back farther than 2015, but a lens replacement procedure that would actually correct my astigmatism. And I'd worn glasses all my life. So there's this chance, this small chance, that I could get this procedure and I wouldn't have to wear glasses. Huh. Still wear glasses. It was a good procedure. It actually did correct my sight, my vision to what they tell me was 20/20. But the problem was is I was still old and I needed glasses to read. So I never got away from the glasses. Yeah, when I look around the room today, I see a few folks wearing glasses. Now, my wife, from time to time, reminds me that I could probably use a hearing aid as well. And I'm sure we've got a few hearing aids out there in the audience. You know, today I want to bring everybody some good news, some real good news. We can all have 20/20 vision. We can all have perfect hearing. We can. Bible says we can. We can. It's available to you and I. Now, I'm not even going to pose this as a question. I've been in conversations with people that it just frustrates me to no end. Why can't they see what I see so clearly in this book? Why can't they see that God's festivals are found in, you know, Leviticus 23? I mean, it spells them out very clearly. This is who we are. We know the words in this book. We believe the words in this book. We see the words in this book. In those conversations with people, when you got words, printed words right in front of you, and they cannot understand it. Now, have you ever had somebody try to convince you that Christmas and Easter were godly days, and especially this time of year? You know, we see the bell ringers are already at the door, and then we see all the advertisement and the season's greetings, you know, the Santa Claus, the nativity scenes. We see all of this stuff thrown in our face, and we know that it's not of God. We know it's not of God. In those conversations when people try to convince you that Christmas and Easter, and then they, for some reason, they try to justify Halloween. I don't know how they get away with that. It's very frustrating. I've got to be frank. I get angry sometimes about it. It's difficult to avoid the bell ringers, the ads. So I want to give you the title of this message today, and it's formed in a question. Why doesn't the world understand? Why doesn't the world understand? Why doesn't the world see or understand God's word? Let's turn over to Romans 11. Romans 11. I'm only going to read two scriptures, two verses here. Romans 11. I'm going to start reading in verse 7. And the Bible tells us why the world doesn't understand, why they don't get it. Romans 11 and verse 7. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it. Who are the elect? Who are the elect? That's you and me. That's all of us here today. All of us that have repented. All of us that have been baptized. All of us that have had hands laid upon us and given the Holy Spirit. We are the elect of God. So the elect have attained it. But then it goes on and said the rest were blinded. They were blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them, and listen to this, a spirit of stupor. Eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear to this very day. All you need to do is have a conversation with somebody about God's word and you can see that they don't understand it. The words are there. They can see the words, the same words you're looking at, but they don't understand them. But they're so clear, to, at least they are to me, I see and I understand that God's holy days are listed in Leviticus 23, that Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the only one that has the authority to change the Sabbath. Have you ever been had somebody try to convince you that Sunday was the true Sabbath? Wow, that's one that really makes me angry. I mean, Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. But again, verse 8, just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see and ears that they do not hear to this very day. In some similar scriptures, Deuteronomy 29:3, you might want to write this down, Deuteronomy 29:3 and Deuteronomy 29:4, Isaiah 6 and verse 9. I want to turn over real quickly to Matthew 13. Again, I'm only going to read a few scriptures here, just two of them. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 16. Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he's telling them how blessed they are. He said, verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Brethren, you and I, those that have been called, the elect, we've been given a gift. We've been given a gift, and that's what this message is about today. We've got to recognize that gift every time we talk to somebody who doesn't get it. We can't get frustrated. We cannot get frustrated. We need to know and remember that God has given them a mind or a spirit of stupor. Now, moving on with the sermonette, you don't have to turn there. Matthew 15 and verse 14. And this is, again, Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples as they were having conversations with the Pharisees and so on and so forth. It says, Matthew 15, verse 14, says, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. We see the direction the world is going today. We've got blind leaders. We got blind followers. The world has been given a mind of stupor. God has blinded them. He's deafened them. So the big question we have here today is how do we avoid falling into that trap of losing our vision, having it taken away from us, having our ears shut where we don't hear anymore? How do we avoid that? Well, I want to spend a little bit of time now in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, 2 Peter 1, 2 Peter 1, and I'm going to start reading in verse 5. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, and I want you to listen to this, add to your faith. Now, this starts off with faith. Starts off with faith. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, and it concludes with love. It began with faith, and it ended with love. And everything that's in the middle is what we need to be doing. It's what we need to be adding to our lives. So let's continue. Let's go look at verse 8. For if these things are yours and you and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a reward for adding these things to our life. There really is. There really is. We'll grow in knowledge of Jesus Christ. We won't be unfruitful. We're going to bear fruit. So what happens if we don't do these things? Well, scriptures tell us that too. If we don't add these things to our life, something serious happens. Verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. We can lose our vision. We can lose our sight. We can lose our hearing. And has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Why? Because you can see. You can see where you're going. You're not going to trip and fall over something in your way. You have clear vision. Verse 11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow, that's a reward. This is what happens when we add these things to our life. And that's what we need to be doing on a daily basis. We do that through reading and studying our Bible. We do that by fellowshipping and going to services regularly. We do that by recognizing God's holy days. We do that by keeping God's law. So as I begin to wind down here, I want to remind everybody that our vision, our spiritual vision, our spiritual hearing, it's up to us to maintain. It's up to us to maintain. Now, God gave us these. These are a gift. And we'll see that right now. But one thing we need to remember, and you can write these two scriptures down, Matthew 20, verse 16, and Matthew 22, verse 14. Both of these scriptures say the same thing. For many are called, but few are chosen. Brethren, we have to be part of the few. Many people have had vision given to them. Many people have had hearing given to them. They could hear. They could see God's word. It's what they did with it that mattered, and what they didn't do with it that really mattered. You can have God's truth and do nothing with it, and you're going to be lost. Now, I want to go ahead and turn over to Mark. This will be the last scripture we turn to, Mark 4. Mark 4. In verse 9, Mark 4 and verse 9, and he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. He who has ears to hear. We need to be listening. We need to be watching. We need to be stuck in this book. We need to be, you know, talking to each other about God's plan and God's holy days and God's future for us. Dropping down to verse 11, Mark 4, verse 11. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. To you. To all of us. We know the mystery of the kingdom of God. It's been given to us. We can lose it. We can lose it real easily. Verse 12. So that seeing they may see and perceive not, and hearing that they may hear and understand and not understand. And this is the key here, that they should turn and their sins be forgiven. And what's that mean there? It means repentance is the key to success. When God calls you and opens your mind and lifts that veil and you're no longer blind, and it's what we do with it. We need to repent. We need to change our life. And that's what repentance means. We change. Doesn't mean we tell God I'm sorry. No. Sorry only goes so far. Ask any parent. Yeah, I mean, we need true repentance. It's true. I'm going to change. This is what we need to do. And sadly, brethren, when it comes to our vision and our hearing, our spiritual vision, our spiritual hearing, we can lose those. And not even know it. And I'm not even going to turn there, but I'm just going to read one last scripture, and that's Revelation 3, verse 17. Revelation 3, verse 17 says, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. In other words, I have a safe in my closet with $2 million worth of gold, and I'm good to go. I've got everything I need. My bills are paid, money in the savings account. Tomorrow's looking good. Wow. Is it really? Is it really? And it goes on to say, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind. You can lose your vision. You can lose your hearing, and naked. Brethren, as we go through this life, we need to take care of our vision. We need to take care of our hearing. We need to not lose our senses. Have a happy Sabbath.